All right. So, I still chuckle a little bit whenever I come up here and I see this on the page. The title of this sermon is "We're a Bunch of Liars." Yeah, dirty, filthy liars. So, this morning I wanted to talk to you guys about something that I deal with on a regular basis, and I think that we all end up dealing with the same thing, and it's that I believe that I am a liar, and I believe that you guys are also liars, and I hope to kind of prove that today so that it's a fact that we can deal with it. Once we know that it's true, then we can start dealing with this and try to overcome these lies. And I'm talking about like we just find regular people or regular times to go out and lie to people because we enjoy lying. I think that we have a lot of lies that we tell to ourselves. We're liars on a regular basis to ourselves. And some of these lies are so ingrained into us. They go way, way, way back, and we start to believe them. And then the longer that they're there, the more and more that we start to believe them, and they become so ingrained that we just start thinking that maybe these lies are actually the truth, and they're not. And I want to talk about that today. So whenever we're discussing this today, I want to kind of bring it into perspective and think of it like a tree. So when we're talking about these lies, I want to try to make a tree be the illustration so that we can see how it all works. And whenever we start off in life, you know, we have like this clean slate. We're born exactly the way that God made us, and we don't have anything that gets inside of us and messes it up until some seeds start getting planted into our lives. A lot of seeds are good ones, right? We plant good seeds into our kids' lives. We raise them up. We try to raise them up to do right. We plant a lot of good seeds, but then there's also some bad seeds that get inside of there. And whenever a bad seed gets planted into that ground, then it starts to take root and it starts to grow some of these roots. And I want to kind of talk about a seed that was planted in me, and there are plenty, but this is a big seed that has affected a lot of things in my life. And that is that I would never amount to anything. That's what my dad used to tell me on a regular basis. My dad would tell me that I was never going to amount to anything. And some people don't know, some people here do know that I failed big time academically. Whenever I was in, whenever I finally got into enough fights on the school bus, fist fights, I was kicked off of the bus and I couldn't go to school anymore because my parents couldn't take me in their car because we lived too far away from the school. So I was essentially kicked out of school. And that was my third ninth grade year. So I had done ninth grade in a private school, but I was too young, so they sent me back to public school, and I did ninth grade again, and I failed everything. And then I failed everything the second time around. And whenever I say failed everything, math, everything, PE, I failed PE. The way that you do that is you just refuse to suit up for PE, and that's how you can manage to fail that. So I was failing everything. And so my dad would tell me how stupid I was and that I was going to never amount to anything. I was going to end up working in McDonald's, flipping burgers, and I was never going to amount to anything because I just, you know, wasn't smart enough. I was being stupid. I was stupid. So my dad planted these little seeds into my life way, way, way back then whenever I was constantly getting in trouble at school and failing in school and telling me I would never amount to anything. And you would think that those would be easily dismissed and that everything would be all good, but I start thinking this week about all these lies that we tell ourselves and some conversations having with some people, and I'm listening to what they're saying and going, no, that's not true at all. That's not true. And so I start thinking, like, what are some of the things in my life that are like that? And this was a big thing that I think has carried on throughout my life into a lot of different decisions and the way that I act now and my drive for not being nothing or whatever. So whenever I look back and I think about myself, James Oliver, I have never really been stupid or even a failure. I was pretty dumb for not passing the classes because I was quite capable. Like any time that my parents would put me in private school or homeschool, anywhere but public school, I would excel in classes. I did first grade through the fourth grade in the first like 6 months of school. I just flew through all those grades. Then they moved me back, and when they put me in public school the first time was in fifth grade. The only reason I passed fifth grade that year is because they put me in just passed half a year, so I was able to fail everything in fifth grade and still pass, and they put me on into sixth, failed that, put me into seventh, I failed that, and then they put me back into private school. And in private school, I did seventh, eighth, and ninth, and then I went back to public school and started failing again. So this stuff that my dad starts planting was really like taking root in who I would become someday, because I was fighting against that you will never amount to anything. And I think that all of us have something that can go back to our childhood. It may have been planted by friends, teachers, parents, ourselves, and something that we've seen or something like that. And I think that we all have some kind of a lie that's rooted in our lives somewhere, and that's hindering our relationship with God. So what's your deep lie? What is it that is so ingrained in you that you may even believe that it's truthful? And they come in all sorts of flavors. There's tons of different things that contradict what the Bible says about us. And I've got a list of some. I'm going to try to cover some of these, and maybe I'll hit on something that that you have rooted in there that we can dispose of today. You're not pretty. Now, that's something that gets planted into a whole lot of young ladies' minds, right? Y'all agreeing with me on that one? You're not pretty. It's not true. It's not true at all. But that's something that can get planted in people's minds, and not by parents. A lot of times we want to tell our kids how beautiful they are, but there are some out there that tell their kids that they're not very pretty. But it can get planted in seeds of the childhood by some other kid. It can get planted in our minds by seeing television commercials and seeing the people on there that are completely and totally photoshopped to look this certain way. I saw a thing recently where they're taking people and they're photoshopping them to make them beautiful in a variety of different countries, and there's a whole array of beauty seen in different countries, but we get told that we're not pretty, and so we start to believe that, and that starts affecting our lives in a lot of different ways. Poor guys, you're not handsome, you're not hot, whatever, you're not a handsome guy. So we start to believe that, and we start thinking, man, I'm not good looking at all. I'm not going to pick up anybody as hot as, you know, Amber there. So you start getting those things into the back of your mind. I didn't have that problem. I could look in a mirror and know that wasn't true with me. I'm kidding. But you're not smart enough. How many of you guys have had the thought you're not smart enough to accomplish something, right? Not smart enough. So whenever I think of that one, I think of this movie, and I can't remember which movie it is. Katie might be able to help me out. But it was one of those Cinderella-type movies. There was a stepmother, the two stepsisters, and a daughter, and it was played by a blonde actress. I can't think of what her name is there right now. Yeah, Hilary Duff. So Hilary Duff's in there, and the stepmother, I think she just got accepted into a college or something because she was really smart, and her stepmother's like, oh, sweetie, you're not very pretty, and you're not very smart. Just like that, just matter of fact, like that's just true, and that's the way that she told it to her. Huh? Yeah. So of course the kids see that, and so I used to tell Katie, I was like, oh, you're just not very pretty, and you're not very smart. Have I ever meant it one time, Katie? See there? So she knew I didn't mean that. My daughters are both very beautiful and very smart. So that's one. You're not a good person. That's another one. We start thinking that we're not good. We can't be good. We keep messing up. We keep making mistakes. We buy a BMW motorcycle, one we probably shouldn't have. We do all these things, and we start thinking that we're not a good person. Or, in a lot of cases, we can start thinking that we really are a good person and we don't need God, but I won't go into that just yet. You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough to make it through this trial. You're not strong enough to do this job you want to do because it requires more strength, and there's no way you're ever going to get there because you have bony arms and you're a small person. So you're not strong enough. You're not skilled enough. You can never get that skill because maybe you're not smart enough. So people start saying you're not skilled enough. You can't do that. Insert whatever that is here. People tell us that we can't do things, and we start to actually believe that there's something that we can't do, that we can't acquire what's necessary to do that. And then I think about Jesus saying that we were going to be able to move mountains, and people start thinking, there's no way that I could ever move mountains. But then whenever you look around at different countries, and even here in the United States, entire, you know, mountains have been moved. It requires big, heavy machinery. But people are moving mountains. They're literally moving them. So it's happening. we can just about accomplish anything that we set our minds to. If we believe that we can do it, then we can set our minds to that. I'm fat, and I can't change that. I have been exercising now for this. Today is 7 weeks, and 7 weeks of hard exercises on P90X3. I have been completely and totally beat down by this exercise program because waist still the same, weight still the same. It doesn't seem to be doing much good other than making me stronger, giving me some more energy, and there are some good, good effects of that. But I started going, man, am I ever going to be able to get back down in my size? I don't want to be where I was whenever I was a teenager. I was really strong, but I weighed 145-ish, and it was just skin and bones. I was very skinny. So I don't want to be there again. Or I'm too skinny and I can't change that. That's what I lived with. But it turns out that if you are too skinny, you can change that. I tried really hard for years. It turns out the key is to eat a whole lot of sweets. That works. That works. If you come home at night and you replace your cigarette habit for the chocolatey goodness things with the cream inside of it and cinnamon rolls, you can do it. You can put on 60 pounds in about 6 months. Proved it. And then in my mind, I'm like, well, I can lose that real easy. I've always had a fast metabolism. Not anymore. So I'm too skinny and I can't change that. Because of these physical attributes, whatever that may be, because of these physical attributes, like my nose is too big, my eyes are too far apart, my eyebrows do this, my ears stick out too much, I'm balding, whatever the case may be, because of these physical attributes, no girl or boy will ever want me. How many times have we had those kind of thoughts? Turns out for me that that wasn't true either. I still found one that would take me, so I got to hang on to her. But no, so because of these physical attributes, whatever they may be, no one's ever going to want us. And that's untrue. And that's what young people start to believe. That's what older people start to believe. They start thinking that there's all these things wrong. And so then they go and try to fix them with tons of plastic surgeries and whatever. And it doesn't really change anything but their appearance. So these are just lies. Lies and deceptive things that we've planted into our lives that we start to believe are true. And so we don't really ever get past those. So this list, there's tons and tons more things that we lie to ourselves about on a regular basis. So what is your lie? What is it that's in your mind that you know contradicts the word, but you still believe that that's truth? God isn't going to lie to you from his word. He is unable to lie. Everything he speaks is truth. Everything in his word is truth. And that's what we have to compare it to. So these lies that we have are seated somewhere in our lives, you know, back to childhood. It could be something in the last few years. It could be anything that we've bought into something that's not true. But the further back that these lies go, the more ingrained they get, the bigger and bigger that they build, and more that we start to believe those. And I think that this is why, comparing it to a tree, whenever a seed gets planted into the ground, It starts taking roots, right? And then we start nurturing this seed that's in there. You're not very pretty. You're not very handsome. Yeah, look at that. My ears stick out too far. They're not back far enough. My nose is too big. My beard won't fill in right in there. All these different things start building, and it starts to nurture this seed that's been planted into the ground and these things. And then you start getting confirmations in other ways that aren't true because you're just seeing it, you're wanting it, and then it starts to kind of sprout up out of the ground a little bit. Once it starts to sprout up, then we've been feeding it a whole lot, and then other people start to notice some of these things, and they have a way of attacking on our own insecurities, right? Am I the only one that's ever been attacked on your own insecurities, or is there somebody else? Okay, for the audio, everybody raised their hands. So everybody has been attacked, and people play on those insecurities. And especially for young ladies, and I hope that neither of my daughters ever have to go through that. That's why I build them up so much, because I never want some other guy to be able to play on insecurities that they have in order to keep them underneath their thumb by telling them things that aren't true. So I want them to know the truth from me and from God's word, that they are beautiful and they are very pretty. So these things start to sprout up. And my lies, like where I'm not going to amount to anything, that sprouted up whenever I was really young and I nurtured it, by failing in school. I didn't care that I was failing. Every time that I failed for 6 weeks, the rule was if you failed for 6 weeks, then you were grounded for the next weeks, for the next 6 weeks, so that you could get your grades back up again and you would pass. So I literally spent 2 years, 3 years or so, from 6 weeks into school starting, I would begin being grounded, and I would stay grounded all the way through school and 6 weeks into the summer. Couldn't catch up my grades in the summertime, but I would stay grounded for 6 weeks to my room. The only time I could come out was to eat dinner, and that was sometimes. Sometimes he was so mad that I wouldn't even get to eat any kind of dinner. So stuck in my room, I would stay depressed all the time. I'd get big time depressed, and sometimes my depression would be really, 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 really bad to the point that I wanted to take my own life at different points whenever I was in school, and there were other students in school that had. And that lie starts to build up that I'm never going to amount to anything. My grades are terrible. I'm depressed. My parents don't love me. All these different things that I was building off of. So I figured that I would end up, you know, in some automotive shop. But then it's like, well, you're not strong enough. You can't lift transmissions. You can't do anything with motors. Now you don't have to. There's tools for all that kind of stuff. But you still have to have some things that I just wasn't going to be capable of because I had convinced myself that I wasn't going to amount to anything. So even whenever I started my computer career in 97, I started actually working for a company doing computers. And I kept thinking, man, I'm going to do something. I'm going to mess this up because I'm not good enough. I'm not going to amount to anything. So I start my career in computers and I keep thinking, but I was fortunately really good at my job and dismissing the other stuff in my career. They kept giving me more money and we were doing good. And then I get laid off and depression sets in for 9 months of being laid off. My depression spilled over into Amber, and Amber was depressed also, so it wasn't a great time that we had then. But I still spent my time trying to prove my dad wrong that I was going to amount to something. And so I kept working. I got another job, and then I started my own company, and I started doing networking and repairs and building my company. It was always chasing after more and more money because that was the way that I could compare myself to my dad. One was my truck. My parents never owned a new vehicle, and the entire time that I was growing up, neither one of them did. They bought one time and lost it relatively quickly. I told you guys I grew up really, really poor. So I'm 21 or 22, and I bought my first new Dodge Dakota pickup truck. I love that truck because it was brand new. I was making the payments. It was no problem. It didn't hardly touch my finances at all to have a brand new truck. Amber knew that I loved the truck so much that she got a Dodge pickup truck for my groom's cake, and that was the top of it. And it was a big thing for me to have this truck because, man, there you go, Dad. I'm not going to amount to nothing. Look at me. I've got a brand new truck, and you couldn't hang on to yours. And I've managed to hang on to my truck now for about 15 years, but it doesn't run or work anymore, and it needs to go. But I've still got my truck that I paid for and that I took care of. It's a pride thing, so I got to let go of that too, but I've still got my truck. But those things, it invaded my life, making me chase after money more than I was chasing after Jesus. I had to prove to my dad and to myself that I was going to amount to something. And so I constantly was chasing after more and more money and making bad decisions, getting involved in things that I shouldn't have been because I was too blinded by what the income possibilities were, that I didn't see what these things were. But before long, these lies, you know, they start sucking nutrients from our ground, from the ground that we have there, and they're messing with our minds even more, and we're letting all these things just keep on building up inside of us. And if we're sucking all the nutrients out with these lies, and the good things about us don't really get to take root because they get out from these weeds that are growing, these lies that have surfaced, and then they grow up and they start to branch out into the other areas of our lives, right? Just like a tree, you plant it and then it starts growing and then it starts branching into other areas of our lives and messes up our minds in those areas also. You guys follow me so far? I don't know if this whole tree thing is making sense. It does in my mind. So these different branches, the lies, they just shoot off and they start making all these other mistakes. Next thing you know, these giant lies are building bigger lies, and then they start to get support from other lies, and we start telling ourselves all this junk that has no place in our life. And then at some point, it's not other people that are feeding these things into our minds. It's us that's feeding these lies that are starting to grow. We start to believe these things. We're looking in the mirror and we're like, yeah, I'm not very pretty. My face is too big. My ears stick out too far. I'm bald. I'm going gray way too early, and all these different things. Ken, we were just talking about the gray a little bit earlier. I don't care that I'm going gray. It doesn't bother me anymore. At one point, I was probably would have been bothered by it, but not so much anymore. So these things start to feed them. And then whenever we've had enough of these things, we're like, okay, that's it. I am done with that lie. And we decide, I am not going to believe that anymore. And so we chop that lie off at the ground. Then it's like, yeah, it's like a weight just lifted off of us. We don't have to believe that junk anymore. We're done with that. And we start feeling better about ourselves. And maybe some things start changing. People are noticing differences. And then the problem becomes that before long, since those, what's still in the ground where we chop off that tree at the ground, so the roots are still there. They're still growing. They're still digging. And next thing you know, a little sprout starts coming up again and we start talking this lie and feeding it and building. And next thing you know, we're right back where we have to be, or where we shouldn't be with these lies. So we need to figure out how to get rid of these things. So we fail at some point, like, you know, maybe you have just decided, I'm no longer going to believe that lie that I'm not beautiful. And then, you know, something scratches your face and then you're like, oh, look at that. I'm not beautiful. I was thinking that I was, but now I'm going to have a scar on my face or all this. And we start feeding it and it starts growing up again. For me, you're not going to amount to anything. That's the thing that I think about. You're not going to amount to anything, James. So all it takes is for some financial difficulty to creep up somewhere in my life, and I immediately start thinking, yep, I'm not going to amount to anything. I keep making these mistakes financially, and that's why I'm never going to have any kind of savings or anything like this. And I start to believe that stuff, and it starts messing with my mind, and I start thinking, man, I got to do something. I got to start adding this and doing more things. But that's what happens if we don't get to the root of these problems and we just chop it off at the surface. Those roots are going to be there and things are going to start sprouting back up. So I have to ask you guys this question. Am I the only one here that's ever cut off something at the surface but left the roots there and it crept back up to bite us later? Everybody's got their hands up again. So it's happened to a lot of us. We've all had that thing where we have this lie, we chop it off, and then it creeps up again. And so we have to deal with these trees. And you start wondering, like, is there some kind of a hope that we can have to actually get rid of these things? And there is. We have to pull up these trees by the roots. We have to dig down and get rid of the roots of these things so that we can do away with them completely and pull them up. And whenever we do pull them out of the ground, there's a big spot in there, and we have to fill that with something else. Can anybody guess what I'm going to say you have to fill that with? Good answer. Got to fill it with Jesus. But how do we pull these roots out of our lives? What is it that we have to do to pull these things up by the roots? And whenever I think about the trees and pulling them up by the roots, out in our place, there was you need tools. You need some kind of tools to pull up trees by the roots. Out at our place, whenever we were pulling up all the nasty cedar trees everywhere, we had to have a tool. We used the tractor to pull up some smaller ones. We got a backhoe out there and we were digging up roots and we were getting rid of all of these cedar trees. I think with cedar trees, though, the seeds come in from somewhere else and they replant themselves and grow up everywhere. At Amber's parents' house, they chopped off all the trees out there and they've all grown back up a whole bunch of cedars. She was talking about that a few days ago. So, if you don't dig them up by the roots, they're going to come back. We haven't had any of our trees start coming back, fortunately, yet for those old cedars. So we need a tool that's going to help us to get rid of these roots of our problems. So what is the tool that we have? And this year, 2016 for me at least, we went into it talking about devotion to God. For me, This is about learning to run to this tool that we need to dig up these roots of lies that are in our lives. It's about teaching all of you guys where it is that you need to run to get this tool to dig up these lies that root into our lives. And that's God's Word. We have to fill our lives up with this. We have to fill those roots in with God's Word so that we can know what the truth is. This is where the truth is at. The world says it has the truth, but these pages right here, self-help books, all these different things, aren't going to help you more than what this Word, with all of this truth packed in here, and Proverbs, and the different examples that we see throughout there. Everything in this book is the truth, and we have to compare everything to that. So sometimes we have to see the truth a few times before we're going to dig up those things. We're going to dig up some roots, and that's your problem. We got to dig back down in there and get those things up again and keep on tearing them out with truth. So we use truth to dig at these things. And it, if we keep on believing all these lies that the enemy has put there for us of not being beautiful, not being smart, all these different things that can have these deep roots, if we keep letting those things be there, then we start thinking that that is true, and then we start going a direction that we really shouldn't, and that's where we start focusing back on God, going, why did you make me so stupid? Why did you make me with too big of a nose or too big of ears or ear, you know, whatever? And we start putting this stuff back on God, like he didn't create us the way that he created us, and blaming him for these things. And that hinders our relationship with God because we think that he didn't make us in a way that he made other people that are better. But there's a lot of great stories in here where he took people that weren't perfect and he used them in mighty, mighty ways. And we never know what his plan is before for each one of us. So what does God say about us? What is the truth? Jeremiah 1:5 says this: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before I consecrated, before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I'm going to read the whole scripture, but this isn't all for us. This is for Jeremiah, that before he was born, he was consecrated and he was appointed to be a prophet to the nations. That was for Jeremiah. But we can read here from, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I believe that's for every one of us. God formed us exactly how he wanted us to be in our mother's womb. He saw how we were going to be. He saw how we were going to look. He saw all these different things, and he made us exactly the way that he wanted us to be. And then as we're growing up, this other stuff starts getting poured into us. But God made us exactly how he wants us to be, and he sees us through that kind of perfection of the perfect way that he made us and the way that we are. And that's important to remember when we start thinking these things that are wrong about ourselves, and that God didn't intentionally make us the way that he did. He intentionally made each one of us the way that we are, and that is beautiful. Whenever we think that there's no way, like we get into these things of thinking there's no way out. I just talked to a guy this week that he's telling me that there's so many mistakes, so many things wrong, that there is absolutely no way out of this. So he's thinking that he wants to end his life. I'm like, but man, there is a way. There is a much better way than what you're living. This guy isn't a believer. This is what Jesus said in John 14:6. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when we start thinking that there is no way out of what we're at, Jesus is the way. Jesus makes the impossible be possible. I've seen so many things in my life that have been overcome because I'm just like, I can't fix this. I can't figure out any way to make this any better. So this is all you. And then I just give it to God, and it always manages to work itself out in some form or fashion. It works out, and it's usually way different than I would have ever thought that it should be. Or that I would have handled it myself. So I love just going, okay, this one's all on you, and we should do that with everything, but so many things we think that we know a better way than God does. Whenever you start thinking that you are a complete and total failure, that you can't do any right, that God doesn't love you, you have to remember this. This is important. That God loves you so much, every one of you, me, everybody, so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross in spite of everything that we did. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ laid down his life for us. Every sin that we committed, as far back as we can go, everyone in the future, Jesus died. God's only son died because he loves us so much that he wanted to reconcile us to God. All those mistakes, everything that we've messed up, everything we've done someday is going to be in this small, little, bitty, tiny bit of eternity. I saw an illustration one time that if I'd thought of it before this very second, I probably would have brought one. It was a rope, and he kept pulling out this rope and pulling out this rope and pulling it out, and then he finally says, I can't pull anymore because it's at the end of it, and you guys can't see that part, but I want you to see, and he had this little end of the rope painted red, and he's like, this is our lives here that we're so concerned about, that we're worried about failing, and that we're worried about all these little minute things about this world and this life when we have all of eternity to worry about. God loves us so much, he loves you so much, that he died on the cross. So don't believe those lies that you told yourself about you're not pretty. You're beautiful to God. You are a child of the King of Kings. You are a child of the Lord of Lords. You are exactly what God created you to be. You are exactly what he wants you to be. And he has a purpose for your life. Even if you don't see that, God has a purpose for you. Even though we're flawed, we're broken, we're ashamed, God has a purpose for us. And we don't see that. And we think of, we just read not too long ago about Moses. And Moses was, he messed up. He was there for 40 years. He kills one of the Egyptians. Then he runs off and hides for another 40 years, making him 80 years old whenever God says, hey, Moses, I want you to go lead my people out of Egypt. He's like, what? I can't talk very good. I can't do that. And God says, I created your mouth exactly the way it is, and you don't think I can make it say the words that you need to say? And Moses is kind of like, no, I can't do that. So he sends Aaron to him. He makes it possible for Moses to complete the purpose that he has for him by sending Aaron to help him. So God used someone that was flawed for his purpose, and it was for a good thing. So in this lifetime, there is one thing that we have got to get right. Air conditioning. No, I'm kidding. That's not the only thing. I'm starting to see some people fan. So one thing that we have to get right in this life, in this small bit of all of eternity, one little thing that we have to get right. And that's realizing that we disobeyed the God of the universe, that we broke one of his commands. And every one of us have done that. So we have a broken relationship with God until we realize that we need to be reconciled to him. And upon that realization, we have to ask him for forgiveness for all these mistakes that we've made. And he says that if you ask me for forgiveness and you trust Jesus, I will forgive you as far as the east is from the west. Forever. He forgets every mistake that we made, everything that we think matters so much. He forgets about all that thing. And here's the really cool thing, is that it doesn't matter what lies you've told yourself. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you believe about yourself to be truth, that Jesus still loves you. We can trust him, and we can kill off the roots of these lies that we believe, because Jesus says that you are just the way he created you to be. You're beautiful, you're pretty, you're handsome, you're smart, you are capable of overcoming all of the obstacles that are thrown your way, because God goes in front of us. He fights for us, and we can do anything that our minds are set to. We have faith in him. We're not going to fly or something that breaks the rules that God set for our planet, but we can do things that we set our minds to. It wasn't that long ago that people didn't think there was any way we'd ever be flying, and now there's planes going all over the world, right? So we overcame that obstacle. So trust Jesus. Get rid of those lies. Dig them up at the roots. Tear them out of there and know that this is where the truth lies. This is what God says about you, and that's what we need to believe. So I'm going to pray for us. If you guys like to, the front is always open. You're welcome to come here. You can sit right where you're at. Ask God to reveal these lies, these things that are deceiving you, that you believe in your mind, that you know contradict His Word, and then start pouring His Word over those lies and filling that stuff as you're pulling up those roots of this deception in your lives, so that you can make that relationship with God as strong as possible. Bow our heads and say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We love you. We love the way that you've changed our lives. We ask you for forgiveness where we fail you. We know that there's many ways, and God, this morning we want to come before you and we want to ask that you would zero in on these lies, on these deceptive things that we believe about ourselves that are untrue, that you say are different. God, point those out to us and start showing us the truth so that we can tear these things up by the roots and get rid of them, dig them out of our lives, and see ourselves the way that you see us. God, help all of us to not be people that sow seeds of lies and deceptions in other people's lives. Help us to speak truth into people. Let them know that they've got a God who loves them and that cares about them and that made them exactly the way that they are. God, with all these lies, help us to overcome the lies, to show ourselves that they're untrue. When we see something that we know is wrong, help us to overcome those, to see ourselves differently, to do differently, to know that we can do the things that we limit ourselves to say that we can't do. God, we want the best relationship possible with Jesus. We don't want the strain of this deception, these things planted in our lives throughout time that just cause us more and more grief. Help us to know by just showing us. And then God, we know that you're going to stand there with us as we're overcoming these things, as we're showing ourselves that it wasn't true. We got to have your help for doing this. We thank you for your word, for the tool that you've given us to help uproot these things and get rid of them. We thank you that you've given us so many examples of other people that are just as flawed as we are. But God, that you use them the same way that you can use us if we trust you. God, help us to trust you more. Help us to put all of our faith in you and you alone and not in this junk that infects us, that takes up root and grows. God, help our lives be something that people look at and that they wonder what's different about us, and whenever they ask us, we're able to tell them about your Son. And that there's hope, that there's joy. God, we thank you. We thank you for making us just exactly how we are. We ask you to show us your purpose for us and help us to fulfill that purpose. We all want to get started on it as soon as possible, but we know that it's in your time, and we just ask you to start showing us the purpose you've got for us. Start making us whole. Start getting rid of things that deceive us. God, you are awesome. You are wonderful. You are holy. You are perfect. And we love you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.